Well, I guess everyone has his cross to bear. Have you ever heard anybody say that? Well, just everyone has to bear his cross. What do they normally mean when they're saying that? Normally when we hear somebody say, well, I guess just everybody has his cross to bear, it's talking about some kind of suffering or trial or problem that that person is enduring. And well, everybody has their particular problem to go through. Maybe it's a car that doesn't work right, or maybe it's an in-law that they don't get along with, or maybe it's a preacher who preaches too long. Whatever the problem is, oh, I guess they all just have their cross to bear. Are you aware that that phrase actually stems from a statement made in the Bible? In fact, in the Gospels, in multiple places, there is a statement that's made about taking up a cross. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, we find a very interesting explanation of it. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. What I hope we recognize as we consider this idea of taking up a cross and everyone bearing his cross, that this idea of referring it to and relating it to our little problems that we have, whether it's a whatever those illustrations we might come up with, a boss that's hard on us, or a marriage problem that's going on, or kids that aren't doing what they're supposed to, or a car that won't run right, or whatever it is that we want to say, that's my cross to bear, we are weakening what Jesus was actually talking about here. We really shouldn't talk about, well, we've all got that cross to bear, about some problem in life, because that's not what Jesus was talking about. I'd like for us for a few moments to recognize what it really means to bear a cross. What it really means for us to take up our cross. And I've particularly chosen Luke's rendition of this statement because he modifies it just a little bit with this idea of take up your cross daily. And I think there are some things that we can learn from that about our victorious walk with God. If we want to be victorious, we must learn to take up our cross, but we must learn to take it up daily. And I hope we can learn some things that will profoundly impact our walk with the Lord as we walk with Him bearing our cross. Before we look at that, would you bow with me in prayer, please? Almighty God and Father in heaven, You are indeed awesome and powerful. You are great. And we are so thankful that You sent Your Son. We are ashamed that we lived in such a way that when He came, He had to bear a cross. But we are humbled and thankful that He did bear that cross. And Father, we pray that You would strengthen us to walk alongside Him on that dusty road, bearing our cross with Him, crucifying ourselves, that we might suffer with Him and know Him and also know His resurrection in our lives. Father, thank You for the victory that You offer through the blood of Your Son. And help us to take up our cross daily, that You might be glorified in us, that we might draw others into Your family and into Your victory. Father, we pray that what we do here this morning brings glory to You, not to us, not to me as the one that's presenting this lesson, but to You as the author, not to this congregation as the one hosting this assembly, but You as the one for whom we are assembled. Father, we love You so much. And we thank You for loving us first. Through Your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Before we continue with this, I've got two things that I need to share with you. Number one, just a matter of kind of some things happening here at this congregation. Some of you are going to notice that some of us are wearing these new name tags. Before people get upset that why didn't I get one, just so you know, this is a part of what we've been doing as far as evangelism with our guests and that sort of thing. And so you'll notice I get one that's white. If you're wearing a white one, that means you're one of the preachers here. One of these like this. The dark blue, the shepherds are wearing those. So if you'd like to get to know our shepherds, our elders who guide and shepherd and lead us, they have the dark blue ones. Two of those fellows are here. This is actually one of those weird days where a lot of them are gone. So we've got two here. If you see one with the dark blue, that means it's a shepherd. If they're wearing a light blue one, that means it's one of our deacons, one of the congregational servants. And then there's a couple other colors, and those have to do with roles in our work with guests, some who are at the guest center attendance, and some who are hosts and hostesses, greeters. And so that's what those are about. So I just didn't want anybody upset wondering why they didn't get theirs. If you have a role in that, then you have one back there. You can pick it up. And if you're a guest here, we want you to know what that means. So happy for you to know that. The second thing that I need to share with you is about next week's sermons. Next week is Father's Day. And of course, we're going to be here mostly, completely, to remember our Father. To remember the fact that He sent His Son Jesus to die for us. But it is my common practice that on those special days where we've got things on our mind that we're already thinking about, I usually try to tie in the lesson to it. So next Sunday morning, we are going to be talking about biblical manhood. It's a lesson called Man Up. So hopefully you can be back for that. But the thing I really want to tell you about is next Sunday evening. One of the things I know that is a problem is that we have these special days, Mother's Day, Father's Day, and we always talk about the wonderful mothers and the wonderful fathers, and that leaves out a whole group of people that need some help, because the reality is not everybody had wonderful mothers and fathers. Sometimes fathers weren't so honorable. Next Sunday night, we're going to talk about that. The reason I'm bringing it up is because whenever we start talking about fathers who weren't so honorable, that includes some things that are touchy, difficult to talk about. I'm not going to get too explicit, but I'm warning you now, because when I have preached this in other places without warning, I did have some parents of small children just a tad bit upset. I don't think I'm going to say anything that's explicit that's going to scare your kids or upset them, but I'm letting you know that's what's happening here next Sunday evening. So I want you to be prepared for that. So let's think about taking up a cross. Taking up a cross one day at a time. What does it mean to take up our cross one day at a time? If taking up our cross, as we commonly use it, refers to this having a problem here or a problem there, that is not what Jesus was talking about. When Jesus said in Luke 9:23, take up your cross, He wasn't saying, endure a problem here, endure a problem there. Just go through the problems that you have with patience and I'll be with you the whole way. That is not what Jesus was saying. If we want to understand this, we need to put ourselves back in the minds of folks in the first century. What we need to recognize is what it would mean to be walking down a dirty, grimy, dusty road outside of Jerusalem and to hear a jeering crowd. To hear them mocking and yelling, picking up clods of dirt and throwing it at someone, hearing the Roman soldiers as they're beating the people back and away, hearing them shouting and yelling, and seeing somebody walking down that road carrying an implement of death on their backs. Probably stumbling and struggling because just like our Lord, they had been beaten before they carried it. And when we see them, we know that that person is not merely enduring a struggle in life. They're not going through some kind of problem that, well, just everybody has problems. We're looking at somebody who is walking with certainty to their death. That, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, is what bearing a cross represented. When Jesus said we must take up our cross, He wasn't lightly talking about some minor burden we might have to bear on the job or in our homes. He was talking about that. And those folks in the first century had seen that. They had witnessed it. They had watched people carry a cross and carry it up to the place where it was set into the ground and they were nailed to it and they died. When we think about what it means to bear a cross, there are three things specifically I hope that we recognize. Number one, when you saw someone bearing a cross, you knew that they had been condemned as guilty. Bearing a cross was a proclamation of guilt. Now, I understand the Romans got it wrong sometimes, like our justice system might get it wrong. Certainly in Jesus' case, they got it wrong. He was not guilty. But when you saw someone carrying a cross, it was claiming to the world that they were guilty, and not just of some minor crime. Of major crime. They didn't just crucify everybody. This wasn't just something that happened every day to anybody who ever did any minor legal infraction. This was the execution for the worst, the lowest of the low, the most intense of criminals. And so when you saw someone carrying a cross, they were proclaiming, I am guilty. And I am guilty of hideous crime. The second thing that bearing a cross entailed was a loss of personal control. A loss of personal control. Do you think that person's carrying the cross because they wanted to? Are they carrying the cross because they woke up that morning and said, you know what I want to do today? What I want to do today is it would really be fun to, you know, just carry a cross amid a jeering crowd. No, of course not. Somebody else had control of their lives. In fact, look in John chapter 21 and verse 8. In John chapter 21 and verse 8, Jesus demonstrated that. Excuse me, verse 18. In John 21 and verse 18, Jesus demonstrated that when he told Peter how he was going to die. He said, truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. Bearing a cross says, I no longer have control of my life. I don't go because I want to go. I don't dress the way I want to dress. I stretch out my hands and someone else is dressing me and someone else is telling me where to go. That's what it means to bear a cross. And the third thing that it means to bear a cross, when you saw someone bearing a cross, you knew certain death. You don't escape death when you're on a cross. For many, it was agonizing. Well, for all, it was agonizing. For many, it was slow. It could take a long time. But it was certain. Death was coming. The Roman soldiers were going to be at the foot of the cross to make sure that death was going to happen. We need to understand that when Jesus is talking about bearing a cross, that is the image his hearers had in their mind. That's the image we need to have in our minds. When we think about bearing a cross, there are some different passages that perhaps should come to our minds. In Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. In Romans 12 and verse 1, Paul says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Living sacrifice. That's what it means to bear a cross, to sacrifice ourselves. I will just throw this in for free. A friend of mine used to say, you know what the problem is with a living sacrifice? The problem with a living sacrifice is it keeps crawling off the altar. We need to keep in mind that we're crucifying ourselves. We're bearing a cross, living sacrifice. We should keep that in mind. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. When we think about bearing a cross, we should think about what Paul said here. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's bearing the cross, killing self, and allowing someone else to be in control. Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin, he died once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. When we consider bearing our cross, we need to think of passages like this. The old man crucified, hung on the cross, dead to sin, so that we might live to Christ. We should think about passages like Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22, Paul says there, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we're members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sin go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. And going along with that passage, we think about Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 5. In Colossians chapter 3, let's back up to verse 3. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3, it says, "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Don't lie to one another, seeing that you've put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the images of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." When we think about bearing a cross, we don't need to think about our little problems that we're going through, no matter how big they are. We need to think about this. It's a recognition of our guilt. We have been filled with sin. We have pursued worldly things and have been corrupted by our sins. But now we've given control of our life over to someone else. And he's telling us where to go. And we're putting to death that old man or woman. We're putting to death our lives to sin. And we're carrying that cross, recognizing our death, allowing someone else to be in control of our lives. That is what it means for us to bear our cross. And sadly, while everyone should bear a cross, not everyone is bearing a cross, no matter how hard or tough their lives are. We need to take up our cross. We need to take up our cross daily. In fact, what does that mean? What does it mean to take up our cross daily? I wanted us to consider what it says in Luke 9 and verse 23, because it uses that phrase daily. And what it demonstrates to us is that taking up our cross is not just a once-in-a-lifetime thing. It's not a choice that we made one day and now it's just there forever. It's a choice that we must make daily. Understand, in Romans chapter 6 and verse 16, Paul says that we had become slaves to sin. In Ephesians chapter 2 and about verse 2 and 3, it talks about the fact that we, like everyone else, had become by nature children of wrath. Do we honestly think that if that's what we had become because of our sins and our sinning, that it's going to be a moment, and now I've got the cross, I decided to pick up the cross, and now forever I'm always going to be doing what's right? Of course not. It's a growth process. We need to understand that taking up the cross is something we've got to do every day. It's not just a choice we made in the past. It's a choice we need to make today. It's a choice we'll have to make tomorrow. It's a choice we have to make the next day. But there are a couple of things, a couple of implications that I hope we recognize when we consider the fact that this is a daily choice. The first thing I hope we recognize is that since we're taking up the cross daily, a victory yesterday does not mean we're done. I can't rest on the laurels of my victories from days past. There are going to be days when we pick up our cross. There are going to be days where we're putting to death our old self. That we're allowing Jesus to be in control. And temptation is going to come and we're going to be victorious and we're going to overcome. And some days we'll hear that and we'll think, "Ah, I'm done. I got this thing licked. It's over." But in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul reminds us, "Let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall." We need to understand that while yesterday I may have been victorious, today I've got to pick up my cross again or I'm going to get defeated. Taking it up daily means yesterday's victories don't mean we're done. But there's also a comforting side. Because what it also means is yesterday's failures don't mean we're finished. There are going to be days when we laid the cross down. There are going to be days when we messed up and we fell and we failed and Satan was victorious. We need to understand that taking up a cross was not just a once in a lifetime thing. It wasn't just a one opportunity, pick up your cross and carry it perfectly from now on or it's over. No, it's a daily thing. And so what happens if yesterday I laid the cross down and I got defeated? I'll tell you what happens. Today I make the choice to pick the cross up again. And I can be victorious today. As John tells us in 1 John chapter 1 verses 8 and 9, we can confess our sins to God and He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Let's pick that cross back up because it's a one day at a time thing. In fact, that gets us to the third point. When we consider this idea of daily, it's one day at a time. One day at a time. This is important to me because the problem that I often deal with, the thing that causes me most often to fail and fall, is the idea of thinking I gotta pick up this cross and I gotta carry it for the rest of my life. And there's a part of me that says there is absolutely no way I'm gonna be able to carry this cross for the rest of my life. Just no way. That's not what he said. He didn't say take up your cross for the rest of your life. He said take up your cross daily. You know what I have to do? I have to take up my cross today. I can do that. And I remember when it dawned on me, I'm not promised tomorrow. Wouldn't it be silly of me to set my cross down today because I think I can't do this for 5 more years, for 10 more years, for 20 more years? Set my cross down and find out that I died tonight and I only had to bear it for just one more day. Wouldn't that be silly? So let's just bear it for today. Tomorrow we can make that decision again. But right now, all I've got to think about is I got to pick up my cross today. Daily. One day at a time. I don't have to be overwhelmed and paralyzed thinking about tomorrow or next week or next month or next year. Just today. Carry the cross. We must pick up our cross one day at a time. But when we consider the fact that it's daily, and we take up the cross daily, even though all we're going to be concerned about is today, we do recognize that if I make it to tomorrow, you know what it's going to be tomorrow? It's going to be taking up a cross. And if I do make it to next week, you know what it's going to be? It's going to be taking up a cross. And if I do make it to next year, do you know what it's going to be? It's going to be taking up a cross. And if I live for another decade, you know what it's going to be then? It's going to be taking up a cross. Now don't misunderstand. I fully believe that if you and I take up our cross today and we take it up tomorrow and we take it up for the next week, that facing these battles become easier as long as we're continuing to take up the cross. But the problem is that moment when we've been taking up our cross for a significant period of time and we've had significant victories and we begin to believe, I got this beat. I think I can put this cross down now. Because the thing that you need to understand is that while you're lifting your cross and Satan is looking at you and it's been getting a little bit easier to take up your cross every day, and because of that it's become a little easier for you to overcome your sin and overcome your temptations, Satan isn't giving up on you. He's gone over into the corner and he's doing push-ups. And he's looking for an opportune time. He's still a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And he is just waiting. He is just waiting for that moment to think that you've got it beat and now you can put your cross down. He is waiting for that moment for you to say, I think I can handle this on my own now. I no longer have to put myself to death. Now I can just be me. I'll lay the cross down. I'll walk my own way. And in that moment, Satan is going to be on you. And you're going to die. Because he's waiting for it. And here's what that means. It doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for 65 years. It's still taking up a cross. You still have to put to death all those fleshly passions within you. And so if you've been a Christian for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and every day you feel like your battle against sin is still taking up a cross, it doesn't mean you're weak. It just means you're normal. It doesn't mean that you're doing anything wrong. It just means that this is the way it is. As long as we're in this life, it's going to be taking up a cross. It's going to take putting to death those fleshly passions. And we need to keep doing it. Because the moment we put that cross down, Satan will attack. Let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. And the problem is, far too often, we allow those little things to slip by. We think that little slip of the tongue when we blurted out that curse word, when we got involved in a little bit of that gossip, when we got involved, oh, those aren't really big things. No, those are the things we're supposed to be putting to death. Because if not, they'll take over and they'll become big things. And if we put our cross down on those things and allow them to slip in, don't be surprised when sin takes over, because that's what Satan does. Our life is filled with temptation. It's going to have a pull. The fact that the thing that tempted you 45 years ago still tempts you sometimes, that doesn't mean you're doing something wrong. That just means you're still alive. And so what have you got to do? You've got to pick up the cross. Put those things to death. Let Jesus be in control. Because that's the only way you're going to win and have life. And that brings us to our final point that we need to understand. And that's the seeming paradox of a cross-bearing life. The reality is, when we talk about a cross-bearing life, that seems very bleak. I mean, is there anybody else that hears about that and says, oh man, bearing a cross, walking on the path to certain death? Here's the paradox. Because you see, here's the amazing thing. The amazing thing is that what to everyone else in the world seems like an implement of death, for us actually becomes an implement of life. Look again in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, and let's continue to the next verse. In Luke 9 and verse 23, he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Look at this. Whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. The cross to the world is an implement of death, but to us who are being saved by it, it is an implement of life. It is through that destruction of our passions and our goals and our wants and desires, it is through giving control of our life over to Jesus, that we actually gain life eternal. He is our only hope. And if you haven't looked at the back of the program today and read that article, I'd invite you to do it. Because it's in Jesus Christ and in Him alone that we have hope. I want you to think today, as you consider the idea of your commitments for this week and your spiritual growth, maybe you can put this on your connection card. You want to talk about an application of this sermon. What are some things that you need to put to death this week? Some things in your life that need to be hung on the cross, that need to be nailed there with Jesus Christ, so that Satan won't have sway in your life. Oh, I know that some of those things are pleasurable, and I know that there's a little bitty part of us that wants to hang on to some of those things because of those momentary pleasures. But let me tell you, all they bring about is death. If you want to save your life, you've got to give up that. You've got to get on the cross. You've got to carry the cross. Let Jesus be in control. Put yourself to death. You're very lucky this morning. And of course, you're asking why. Why are we very lucky? I'll tell you why. Because you're actually going to get two sermons in one today. But the second sermon is just a sermon in pictures. I don't even remember where I got this from. But I'm just going to show you a series of pictures. And I hope that it demonstrates and illustrates in a way that my words can't what we're talking about this morning. Let me share this with you. I think those little lines on the left side are him whistling. Or maybe that's the other guy carrying his cross. I don't know. Lord, it's too heavy. Please cut it down just a little. No, by the way, notice that's not the Lord cutting it down. I don't know if y'all picking that up in the picture. I just want to make sure you're seeing the things I'm seeing. Now he's whistling. Look at the part of his cross that's cut off there. Lord, please cut it down a little more. I'll be able to carry it better. If By the way, that's not the Lord cutting it down. Lord, thank you so much. Huh? Let's use this as a bridge and cross over. You get the point? Bearing a cross is tough. But for we who are being saved by it, it is the power of God. Don't try to make it lighter. Don't try to cut it down. Because if you do, in the end, you're the one that'll be destroyed. Are you taking up your cross today? If you're going to use a songbook this morning, would you pull that out now, please? If not, it's going to be up here on the screen behind me. Ryan, I forgot to look up the number. What's the number for those who want to turn? 647. 647. So if you'd like to use a songbook, number 647, Soldiers of Christ Arise. Is that it? All right. Have you and your sins been nailed to the cross? You can rise up and be a part of the Lord's army today. Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. If we can help you get on that cross with Jesus this morning, won't you come forward right now as we stand and sing?